What? Same damn class. This is a staff course? Well, this class is so far, I mean, like,
for me?
So far. We'll see about this course. I know for a fact that, like, we took it last year, to be honest, we had a single class. And since about that, like, a certification today, that we had, like, people say. I got the book. stop the bus and then you suddenly go north for 1 hour. Like, around the bus stop. And then, like, I'm stuck in the road for like 40 minutes. And I reach home so late. I don't get something.
What's
going
on? kind of the mind is right, the shorter the cause, the better. Let's see, I didn't ask this last time, but I got a request to use a microphone. I believe it was a different class though. And it was the first time it happened to me. I thought I yelled very well at my students. And let me add, I mean, I've been teaching in this auditorium before, and nobody said I should use a microphone. My voice was a bit weaker last 2 days ago, I don't know why. And I believe it's not necessary. I cannot guarantee, though, that you can hear me with the headphones on, though, and other things on. Okay, everybody can hear me? Well, there is another problem. Can you see what I write? Probably no. But I'll try to write larger. You might remind me from time to time if I get used to the idea that I need to write larger. And then the next day you have to start over again because I would have forgotten my letter. So let's see. Where did we exactly stop? We have the book. Found the book. I forgot to ask, the department told me they were still waiting for it to arrive. I'm not sure what that means. I told you last time, 2 days ago, that there are about 3 or 4 copies on reserve at the Stacy Library, St. Library, and there may be 1 or 2 left to take off. Class, plus there's another class, and that's what I'm just telling you is the situation about 48 hours ago, or more than that. But in any case, we get the book, and it's my task to fool you into believing that you actually like it. Let's see, so what was I doing as they kicked us out of this class 2 days ago? Oh, I was telling you about my hats, my bow ties, the right that. Well, I think it is principle, yes, of course. And I had started, but never finished, telling you about, you know, how many ways you can dress up and go out. I think in bathing circles, they say for a night on the town, for a party. So how many ways, yeah? You know? So let's see. Vision, 3 hats, 5 bow ties or neckties or whatever, 4 shirts, 7 pants, and 2 not shoes, but there. Shoes, and ignore everything else. Yeah, ignore everything else. Of course, you have to wear other things too. But never mind that. In how many ways, so this is what people see. Remember. So in how many ways can you shirts. Maybe I should put some parentheses here, but not to confuse so many signs. number of bands. Who volunteers to get the Santa for us? Band number, pairs of shoes, pairs of pants. Shoes. In this case, that would be equal to 3 times 5 times 4 times 2 times 7. So that would be a 42 here times, what, about 840 you're getting?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it helps to train yourself a little bit. Since I got my cell phone, some people really just happened to me that I couldn't help it. They know that I have so many more friends than I used to have before. A smartphone, I should say, I don't know. But because it's always good in the memory, it does relax. You know, as they say, you know where the information is. How would you learn anything? And then as a consequence, I barely know my own number. Because mind you, I don't know myself very often. So there's not much repetition, not much time to practice. So I don't know even that. So I barely know any number at all. And I say with this, I recommend, warmly recommend, that you train your mind. Don't do everything on the computer. Okay, or calculate or whatever. Well, so what is this? It's an application of the multiplicative principle, okay? And it would take a painful 5 minutes to write on the board the exact statement, okay? So I don't feel inclined to do that. But you may want to write down something, unless you feel highly confident with it. I'll never forget my whole life. Okay? But we do need to pay attention at something, because it works because of something. It doesn't just work all the time. Okay? So this was an application of the multiplicative principle. As you can see, you have to tell me again to write bigger. Almost forgot. I wrote the least important word because I remember too late to write bigger. Okay. Is that clear? Crystal clear. Okay, what makes it work? Because there is something that makes it work. And I'll try to show you for the other class. Remember that saying, you know, an image, a picture is worth a thousand words, they say in English and in many other languages, I suppose, it'd be something similar. So here's a situation. We're going to draw something like a tree picture. So, you make your choices. You have three paths to choose from. Now, once you choose a certain path, regardless of the other choices, you will not be dressed the same as somebody who chose a different path. Is that clear enough? Because the paths are different. Okay? So that means on a tree, if you take two different paths from a certain node, it is called, you'll never end up in the same final position, which is the total opposite. Okay? And then once you make your choice of the paths, your choice of paths, then you make another choice. So the bow ties. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now here is, you know, dot dot dot, because I don't feel like doing all that. And then for the last half choice, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So bow ties. Okay? Well, so that means, having chosen a tie about a hat of a top and a bow tie, how many different looking people do we have so far? Yeah, but you should save the idea because there's no value. 3 times 5. Okay? That's clear, it's a branching thing. But why is it 3 times 5? Because no matter what hat you chose, so no matter what choice you make at a certain stage, at the next stage, your number of choices, is the same. So no matter what you choose in this case, of the 4, 5 bow ties to choose from in the next stage, here actually it doesn't even influence which bota you choose, the choice of your hat. But that's not very important. You see, like in other cases, where your previous choice, you're going to see it pretty soon in a couple of minutes, influences your second choice in matter of what you choose, but still not how many choices you have for that second stage or next stage. And that means you can still apply the multiple difference. Very important to understand that. Because if it's not like that, if it's depending on what hat you choose, you have different choice, different number of choices for the bow tie, let's say because of color or something, okay? Then it becomes a lot uglier to count all the possibilities, a lot uglier. We're not even talking about that. It's not part of what the multiplicative principle can cover, okay? So, is it clear by now? So by now, if you go to the next stage and choose a shirt, every single people of branch there splits now into four. Well, for them, one of these 15 cases becomes one of four further cases. So that's clearly 15 times one. That's too easy for you, okay? We can finish this class in a week, believe it or not, and pack up and go home and come back to the exam. Okay. So, that's the multiplicative principle. That's how it works. But at each stage, your choices thus far, that stage and the previous ones, should not influence the number of choices in the subsequent stage. That's the requirement for this to work. Otherwise, it gets a lot better. Imagine, you take the black hat, you have two bow ties to take from versus you have the red hat, you have three bow ties to choose from. That'll be a mess figuring out the total number, okay? Good. Well, so let's see. A question, how many numbers can you write with the N digits being 3 digits long? Here's a little question. A question. Number of, but let's not call it numbers, because it sounds bad, and it's also, you will say, well, I cannot start with zero, if that one digit is zero, yes, you could. Okay, so anyway, number of strings, okay, of length k, so this k is, let's not make it zero, let's make it at least one. So k is a positive integer, natural number. Okay, so how many strings of length k can be written using n different symbols, like digits? Okay? Can be written using n, mind you, distinct. Symbols, or if you want, you can think of them as digits. And the answer is, the fast answer is, that's too easy for you. That's too easy for you. I'm beginning to get worried. What are we going to do in this class? And the K. Well, okay. Let's hear the reason. Anybody want to say it loud and clear? They are like slots.
Yeah.
Imagine you put the slots you need to fill in. Right? One, two, three, dot, 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 this. So K slot. And this is first, second, third, blah, blah, blah. And? What did you want to put there? Well, of course, if you think standard with 0, 1, 2, how many digits you want to take, you would feel a little bit reluctant, can't put 0 at first. No, yes, you can. That's why I didn't say numbers as strings. Okay, you can even put 0, 0, 0, 0, everything. Yeah? So, what would this be if the question had been, how many numbers can you write in the decimal system having, say, 5 digits. Mind you, including zeros at the front, because otherwise it's not the same question as this. Okay, so that includes the 0000 thing, completely zero, which means the number is zero, or 0001, which is really the number one. So how many numbers with 5 digits using the decimal system can you write them? 10 to the 5th. 100,000, which has 6 digits. But we don't count 100,000. We count from 0 to, 99,999. Okay? That's as good as shifting by 1 minute from 1 to 100,000. 100,000, here. Yeah? But you don't want to explain like that. That would be the explanation of a smart kindergartner. Okay, you want to explain. Now you make your choices. What do you put here? Well, you have n choices. And what do you put here in the second set? Well, you have n choices. And you see, it doesn't matter what you choose. You always have n choices. So that's the condition that has to be, because otherwise you're going to see. If it depends on your past choices, then multiplicative principle will not work. We're going to see that, and it's going to be a lot harder to come. Okay, so it becomes clear, n choices, k times, n's a k. Yeah? So you begin to see, so I'm explaining it, this is pretty much the proof. Why is n the k? Yeah, we have n choices for k solves. So n times n times n, k times. Alright, well good. We have talked about serial things last time, about adding things. This is called floating up our number sequences. I haven't seen it called like that, okay? It's called a formula for number of sequences, but it's using n symbols and a blank k, so you see it in the book. The next one is called formula for number of orderings. I haven't seen it called like that either in other books. For example, if you take a calculus class, maybe this kind of thing is taught. And there's slightly different names. They will not be called orderings, they will be called permutations or arrangements. Okay, so let's put it this way now. Wait. So let's call this number 0. This one, this is the root where it all starts. The multiplicative principle. And then this is number 1. Number of strings of length k. And the answer is n the k. Number 2. So I can say, well, this is a question. But I'm going to make it sound theoretical. So number of, and they call it orderings. And I say it's also called permutations. Or arrangements in other books. But then you have to say of what. And in the title they don't put the whole story. They just put the very basic idea. So, and objects, call it, distinct. When you say an object, if we don't really say, they could be the same sometimes, then it means distinct, because too many times we have to write distinct. Okay? And objects taken k at a time. Okay? Let's see how you understand that. You know how they do this kind of crazy questions on job interviews, such as, what are your first three weaknesses? Okay, what are your first three best qualities? Okay, and let's say we all agree that humans have, what do you want, 12 qualities, an important number. A moon goes around the earth in 1 year about 12 times, and 12 is important. Okay? Anybody have any idea what the 360 degrees on a circle? Yeah, I suspect so. I don't think I've read it exactly like that, but I suspect that's it. They only point to astronomy and stuff. Okay? Because the sun travels among the stars, if you can see them behind the sun, that is, in about 360 days, so every day it would shift on the background star canopy by a certain amount, and that's supposed to be the degree. Well, I suppose when they tried to do some computations, they hit some problems because 365 didn't have very good divisors. Well, 360 was much friendlier, 2, 3, and 5. Okay, so I believe that's how they settled for 360. And there might have been even a problem deciding it's exactly 365. It's not easy to determine that accurately, so they probably had some trouble with that and liked 360, so stay with 360. Now, why do they use radians in math, though, not in degrees? I surprised you, there's not a right class to ask this question, huh? Well, since I opened with it, the subject, I should ask it. Nathaniel?
Yeah.
I learned one student's name. You'll see, it takes time. If you don't rush, you may not get your turn before the semester's over.
Radiance is useful because it stands as a ratio of the measure of the arc length relative to the central angle.
Well, why did they take that? They weren't happy with the degrees, so I suppose degrees came first. I suppose the degrees were invented longer time ago, much longer time ago, than radians. Why did they switch to radians?
Why did they switch to radians?
Because the derivative formula for sine, cosine, and so on, if you've seen it, would look a lot uglier in degrees, which you can see, it's an ad hoc, it's an arbitrary choice. The radians, though, turn out to be a perfect choice, and the differentiation formula, you realize, will never look better than that. Okay? So if you use anything else other than radians, sine time of x instead of being cosine of x, it would be cosine of x times an annoying number that you have to remember. Okay? And that's the reason. But we talk about that when you get marks. Okay? So, all right.
So we agreed on 12.
Okay, let's put it this way. So Hercules had to perform 12 works, hard works, in punishment for, I don't know, for having crossed the gods, including his father, Zeus, okay? The boss god. Okay, and the question could be, what is, in your opinion, the top three hardest jobs he had? Okay? So, there'll be many answers. Perhaps, not everybody would agree. It's even likely that you would get all possible answers if you have a large enough population. But then the real question I need to ask is, so how many different answers are possible to this question? Give me the list, in your opinion, of the three hardest works that Hercules, or Heracles for the Greeks, is for the Latins, for the Romans, had to perform out of those 12. Well, the one that cost him his life would have been the hardest.
All time low,
100%. Wow. Right on top. Now, I need to ask the department. Are you sure you want to do this class to these people? Because, okay. So, 12 times.
11 times 10.
Why? When you start creating your lists, you say one, and you have 12 choices. Well, you'll have many papers which you get started, but then you realize that on number two, you need different papers to put different versions. So you write many, many papers with number one, and you have 12 choices. And then you take those that have a certain choice, and then you have to choose between for the first one, but then you take one of those, and then you have to take a second one from the remaining ones. You're not supposed to repeat. From the remaining ones. The remaining ones are not always the same. It matters what you chose first. But that's not the question. The question is how many choices do you have at that moment? And regardless of what you chose the first time, for the second time, you'll then have 11 choices. Is that clear? And then if you write this on many pages, enough many, and then you take a page like this, and you have already filled in the first two choices, and you're trying to fill in the third, okay? Again, when you look at those two choices, you cannot use them again. There are 10 left to choose from. They're not always the same 10, because it depends on what those two are. But that's not the point. The point is how many choices do you have now for the third entry on your list? And the number is obviously... No, we stop at 3. But it goes the same way if you want to do a list of 4 and so on. Yes?
Do we need to start?
Yes?
We have to start from 12?
You start from whatever that is. From the number of objects from where you make your choices. You see, take a k at a time. So the n objects are the available objects to play with, and you're supposed to take out k and arrange them. But it's also important not just what you chose, but also how you arrange them. You may have lists with the same three things, for the case I'm talking about, the same three activities for Hercules, but they're not in the same order. That means you would not look at that both two lists as the same thing, because it's arranging, it's orderings, it's very important, okay? So, here now that we talked about that, in this book, it's again new notation. I don't think I try to learn all the notations for this thing. So they call it something like permutations of n objects taken k at a time. Okay? They may even put this k and n in the opposite order. In this book, it looks like, yeah, it's completely different. They write something like, okay, they write something like this. N in parentheses is an index of k. So they're n objects, and you take k and arrange them. But that symbol means number as orderings. Okay, so I'll explain it here. So equal by definition, colon equal in math is a kind of a, everybody knows that, although it's probably never been voted on the United Nations. So by definition, you don't have to prove this equality. This is just a name for what follows. Is a number of ways, exactly what I said there, okay, of choosing, I should say, and arranging, I said only arranging, and I should say now, k objects out of n objects, out of n objects, and I mean distinct. You cannot take the same object twice. The objects are not different once you are not the same. Once you take one, that one is not available to be taken again. Okay. So what I was trying to say there, I said it again, and the point is that the formula seems to be. So let's read the formula now. So what's the formula? What's the answer? No, I'm going to complain to the department. You're too good. Okay, slowly, kids, so we all understand. Even I understand, okay? I just happen to know in this case. But if I were to ask a question, need your help, I would not understand. You're so fast. So it is. For the first thing to put on the list is n choices. Times. For the second thing to put on the list is n minus 1. And I hope you knew this when you told me the factorials, not just that you learn things by heart, okay? Pay attention to that. For the third choice, obviously n minus 2. Now, the challenge is the kth choice. What is it?
N minus k plus 1.
N minus k plus 1. How can you come on that with that? It really is n subtracted parentheses k minus 1. That's what it really is. So then you open the parentheses, n minus k plus 1. Why is that? Well, you notice that the second parenthesis subtracts a 1. The third parenthesis subtracts a 2. the kth parenthesis, because they're supposed to be do this k times, must subtract one less, so k minus 1. So n minus parenthesis k minus 1. That is the real thing. And then you open the parenthesis, of course, it's too annoying to write so many parentheses, and you write n minus k plus 1. Clear or not? So where's the factorial? This is annoying, okay? So they invented a notation, a shorthand notation, for products of consecutive positive integers. So n factorial equal by definition n times n minus 1, or actually the other way around maybe, times n minus 2 times dot 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 times 3 times 2 times 1. That last one is not really necessary, but it looks good if you put it there. Well, 1 times 2, so the product of the first n positive integers are actually natural numbers, that's what you not have. Okay, 1, 2, 9, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, this is not really a factorial, but it's easily fixable. Why? Because you can keep going down, n minus k, one less than that, down to 1. Okay? If you do that, what would you get?
N-factorial.
You would get n factorial. But of course, will not be long equal anymore. So you're multiplying by some extra things that are not there. So in order to keep it equal, you have to do what?
Divide
back by?
Minus k factorial.
By exactly that. But that exactly that is, you're going from n minus k down to 1. So there's again your factorial. And that's how you get a shorthand formula, knowing what factorial is for this thing, okay? And that's the formula. That's the theory. Okay? And this will help you learn how to solve problems. I will remind you 10 times. Is the multiplications principle, as Bill Clinton would say, is the economy. Okay? So, all right. This was number 2. Number 3. Number of in some books, in some parts of the world, the combinations, they call this combinations here too. Okay? So I'm going to call it like that. Combinations, although it's not very clear what it is that about if you don't know it already, of n objects, again, distinct as I said, of n objects taken k at a time. So what is this about? So that is equal number of ways, you see it's counting, number of ways of choosing what? K objects out of N. It's like they have a bunch of prizes, N of them, and they tell you, you can pick whatever you want, and not just one, but K of them, and just go home. Okay, and the answer is, in how many ways you could have done that? So I don't mean many people, because the next unfortunate soul doesn't have any things to pick from anymore. So let's put the question in this way, hypothetically. In how many ways could you have made your choice of K things to take out of them? No? Okay? So number of ways of choosing K objects, and again distinct, out of M objects, of course distinct. And the answer, when I was in school, they wrote something like this. C from combination and N choose K. In other parts, I have seen something like this that looks like that. Okay, like that. So maybe I put the N and K here backwards, I'm not sure anymore. This is in your book. Okay, this is in your book. But I sort of remember that the ready was backwards, although it's first M and then J, first F state. Anyway. So in serious math books, in the math literature, this is the notation. Okay? If you do some sort of your own typesetting of articles, you know, you would be typing that. I don't know for sure that it might be possible to write some of the other symbols. I mean, it is. But the one recommended is this one, like parentheses, pretty large parentheses. You put an N on top, and K down, and it's read as N choose K. N choose K. So that's the number of ways. N choose K. The number of ways to take K objects out of N distinct objects. And it should be understood the range. So 0 less or equal than K less or equal than N and N greater or equal than 1, say, to make some sense. But actually, it's possible to have 0 there too, but let's not get too complicated. Let's not get too fancy. So let's say there is an object, at least, to pick from, but then your choices of K objects could include none. Yeah? And it makes perfect sense. So if you have an object to pick from, and you're told, pick none, in how many ways did you do that?
One
way.
One.
Just don't take anything. Go home. Okay? There's one way. Just don't take anything. Okay? So yes, N choose 0 is 1. Makes perfect sense. Okay? It makes perfect sense. So K could be 0. And it could go up to N. Although, mathematically, you'll find out it makes sense with K is more than N. You can say, here's the 5 objects. Pick 6 and go home. And how many ways could you have done it? No way. You're not going to have 6 objects in the first place. When you went empty pocketed there at home, it was really, you went home with 0. But if you say you go home because you couldn't do it, but you couldn't do it, it didn't happen. There's really 0. If you have 5 and you're supposed to take 6 and leave, there's no way to do it. Okay? So yes, N choose K is 0 if K is more than N. But again, let's not get fancy. I'm just telling you for your information. Okay? Now, where's the formula? How do we, because we don't want to start, you know, pulling off our gloves and start counting on a cold day if you have this kind of a question. How do we really do it? Why do we divide that? Something like that, yes?
Because in a combination order doesn't matter.
Yes. I'm very suspicious, I'm telling you. I'm very suspicious. Okay, I don't want to see this class empty because this course material is too boring. Okay? So we have to raise the stakes. It is still so easy to do. So, the point is, the colleagues are trying to tell me, practice your explanation, okay? When you do the previous thing, the arrangements, the orderings, you count a certain set of K objects multiple times, depending on how you arrange it. Okay? Because there's two things there. Is choose K and put them in some order. And if you put it in a different order, it's regarded as a different choice in number 2. This time we're saying, you just choose them, don't order them, but it doesn't matter. Just take them, put it in your own pocket. You know, there's no order there. Okay? So that means, previously, each choice was multiplied by the number of ways of arranging the object you chose. And here you have to shine. What is this thing I'm telling you about? It's the multiplicative principle. Yet again. So, in number 3 here, we insert the proof. Okay? So, choose and arrange is the 2 steps in number 2 before you get a list of your K favorite things out of N. Okay? R. This time you look at it as 2 steps. You no longer look at it as K steps. Let me choose who's number 1 for me, who's number 2 for me. It's a different way of looking at it. You choose them and arrange them. Are the 2 steps in number 2. Okay? Therefore, so what is that number? The total answer, this N parentheses K, okay, is equal to number of choices of what? Of K objects out of N. So first you choose them, first stage, K objects out of N, correct? Then what? And then you arrange them. So times number, and that's the multiplication principle, okay? Multiplication principle, abbreviated. If you don't think, I mean, if you might forget it, just say, give it more details on your page. By multiplication principle, yeah? Times number of arrangements of who? Of the K objects you chose. Yeah? Of the K chosen objects. Because you're supposed to choose and arrange in number 2. In number 2, okay, don't get confused. We're trying to do number 3. But you're going to see why we go back and refer to number 2. Objects. So what is it equal to? Number of choices of these objects is what? Is this N choose K? Yes, we don't know what it is. But we can write this much. You can write this formula, right? You're going to see it helps. Times. Yes, times this K, choose K out of K and arrange them. A special K is of number 2. Choose K out of K, we already choose them. So there you have them, but arrange them. Okay? So, what is that? You see here, in particular, K choose K would be what N choose N. Okay, so in particular, you can go back and fill this in or write whatever you please. I'll make a good job better than me. In particular, I'm going to write here N and N. That'll be what? So that means for K equal N, the other extreme case, I told you K equals 0 is possible, but K equal N is possible too. When you do K equal N, it's not a matter of what you choose, you just have to take them all. It's a matter of just arranging them. And it would be n factorial over, over what? 0 factorial. Now what's 0 factorial? Well, you know too much. Okay? For my own good. So I should have said this one here. So this one is for n greater or equal than 1. But for n equals 0, 0 factorial is 1. And you can even explain that. Okay, you can even explain, how are we doing? Terrible. Okay, we can even explain that. Why is 0 factorial 1? Well, it's just like 1 times 2 times 3 times 4, and keep doing it and stop when you hit 0. I'll be like, never. Okay? So what do we really have there if you try to do 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 and stop when you hit 0? What do we have there? A product of an empty product. So in math, what is an empty product equal to? 1. Why? Never had any programming? If you were to write a program to compute factorial, how do you do it? You tell him to write times the next number, times the next number. But you have to start somewhere. You have to initialize P product equals something. What do you initialize with? 1, obviously. So when there is nothing to multiply, what would be the final answer? 1 that you never budged. So in mathematics, when you read mathematics, if they tell you do this product, so the formula, and then it tells you what to multiply, and when you do that, you look at it, there's nothing to multiply. You want me to multiply those? There's nothing there. Then the answer will be 1, the default. So let me ask you this for here anyway. That reminds me, I have to take off really fast, and I forgot to set the clock to buzz me at 9:20 for the next class. If you have a sum that's actually empty, what is the answer? 0. Because if you write a program, think about it, you have to say S equal, and to initialize, and then add other things, and there's nothing to add, the answer will remain 0. Okay? So there you have it. 0 factorial equal 1 makes perfect sense. So if you look at this formula now, what's the point? The point is that we know 2 of them, we know 2 out of 3. And that's a lesson you should learn in mathematics. You don't always write a formula starting with, this is what I want to get equal. You may write a formula involving what you want to get and then solve for it. In case there are 2 things you don't know there, it would simply mean try to find yet another formula involving those 2 things. All right, I didn't get a formula. Are you trying to help me? You not be late for next class? So what are we getting here? We're getting here n factorial over n minus k factorial equal n to k. See this right here. And we said this is, was over there written with n, it was n factorial. So this is here k factorial. Okay, so it follows n choose k, the marvelous formula for this is n factorial over k factorial, n minus k factorial. And this is the magic formula for number 3. And there is a ton of things to learn here. I'll show you what we were doing in grade 10 with these things next time. Okay? And maybe I'll give you some of it for homework so you can practice. Okay. Don't have time. Yes?
Oh, can I look at that?
Okay. I'll look at it later. Write me an email if you can. Tell me what this was about, and I'll try not to lose it. If you have a scan of it, try to email it to me, please.
Okay. What are your office hours?
Right after the next class. So 10:30 for about 3 hours.
Oh.
You can only work with me if you...
Oh.